grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning is the epistle lesson from Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. And we heard that read a moment ago. And in this text, it speaks of a life that is one with God. Through Jesus Christ, we have unity with God. We rid ourselves of bitterness, anger, slander, so not to grieve the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill us with His love in Christ so that we can love one another. This is all fine and well, but we don't often take the advice and instruction of the Apostle Paul. We don't follow his directions very well. Matter of fact, in many families, I know, children are fighting. They argue over toys, or they argue over who gets to do this, or who gets that, or whatever. They argue and they fight. Parents, we're not innocent either. We argue over money, we argue over the chores in the house, we argue over who's going to do what, we even argue about what are we going to have for dinner. This is not the way it should be. Parents themselves, husbands and wives, instead of living in peace and love and centering on the problems, letting bitterness build up between them, it's those little things that all add up. Those little things that never get addressed, that kind of wear down on a marriage. So often, husband and wives, instead of coming together in love and mutual submission out of one another and out of our reverence for Jesus Christ, we answer each other with a word of indifference. Whatever. Whatever. That's a dangerous word, whatever. Kind of means, I do not agree with you, but you can go your way and I'm going to go my way, and whatever happens to our relationship, well, whatever. Whatever can mean I've lost hope and we can come to an agreement and it doesn't matter to me. Whatever is a common word, it is a symptom of the problem that many face today. We aren't grounded in the love of Christ that brings with it compassion, love, and faithfulness. This indifference, if it's ignored, tears families apart. It isn't the lack of money. It isn't bad or good or bad health care. It's not having enough time with one another. None of this is what's consuming marriages these days. It's indifference to one another. It's thinking of me. What about me? I deserve better. And it's not thinking about the neighbor. Not thinking about the other person. There is an answer to all this indifference. Today, as Paul says, now assuming that you, this is how he says it, okay? Paul says, he's got the answer for you. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught about him as the truth is in Jesus. You know, assuming you've heard of him. The answer is a daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus. Jesus knows the difficulties of life today. It's not 2,500 years ago or 2,000 years ago. It's today. Jesus knows what life is like today. How? Well, let's see. He was a child with a mother and a father. He knows what a family is to be like. He knows that. He knows the hardships of a family. He knows what it's like to be poor. He wasn't raised in a rich family. They were poor. He also knows the dynamics of marriage. Yeah. For he had a father and a mother. He knows what their relationship was like. He watched it. And he is the bridegroom of his bride, the church, the true Christian church on earth. The answers to the problems of the American family and for all people today is the bread of life. Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." We receive the bread of life first of all from here, the altar of the Lord. Here in church, God comes to us in the preached and teached word of the Holy Bible. That's what the readings are that come from the lectern right here. The readings that come from there are just as the most important part of this service. You're hearing God speak to you. He proclaims the name of His Son, who is our Savior, in whom He is well pleased. He said that to us. "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Jesus comes to us through these words of the gospel, and the merit of His perfect obedience is applied to us for our forgiveness. Through our baptism, God puts His name on us. Okay? The name of God is put on us. And at the altar, Jesus gives us His body and His blood in, with and under the bread and the wine, for the forgiveness of our sins as food for our souls. The answer, the one and only answer to all of our indifference to one another is to come together as Christ, the living bread from heaven. You know, that old Bible story about Noah. Remember that guy? Yeah. Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. When they finally settled on the dry land, what happened? They came out of the ark, and the first thing Noah did was he built an altar and gathered his family together, offered sacrifices and praise to God for taking care of them. So should we. Now, King David, the lineage of Jesus Christ, forefather of Christ Himself, King David, he wasn't the best kind of a guy. Well, he sinned against the Lord when he started counting his army. He was worried whether or not he would have enough of an army to take care of his foe, and he was all worried about it. Well, he sinned against the Lord by not trusting that God would take care of him. Well, he repented. David repented and he built an altar to the Lord, which later became the holy temple of Jerusalem. Maybe we ought to build an altar too in our homes. God is ready to bless us all with peace and love in our homes, but He wants us to know where those blessings come from. So He calls us to repent of our indifference to one another, to receive His forgiveness offered and earned by the death of Christ upon the cross, and to celebrate that forgiveness each and every day. And what better way to do that is around our family altar. Don't think because you're single you get that, because single guys and single folks, we can do that too. You can do that, honey. Oh, sorry. Get excited. We can do that too. Building a family altar does not include using stones and mortar. The family altar is a daily meeting with God, where all the family stops what they are doing and they gather together before their God. This doesn't seem to happen so much anymore these days. You know, we were talking down in the adult Bible study this morning about confession and absolution, and I made a comparison. This sanctuary means a place of safety. A sanctuary is much like a hospital. We don't come here because we're well. You don't go to the hospital just because you're doing great. We go to the hospital to be healed. We're sinners. The only thing that sin is going to do for us is it's going to make us die. So you go to the doctor. Instead of going to the hospital, we go to the doctor. And we go to him and we give him a list of symptoms that we got. This hurts, that hurts. Oh, does that hurt? And this hurts, and this rash, and we got this, and oh, my throat. All these things, these symptoms. Symptoms there. I've lied, I've stolen, I've murdered, I've talked bad about my neighbor. I've tried to take the place of God. I haven't gone to church with the right preparation. I've taken the Lord's Supper wrong. Now I've done a lot of sins. I've got a lot of symptoms, Lord. Heal me. You can do this every day. We can do this every day in our homes, whether it be in the morning or in the evening or in the middle of the day, right before we go to bed or as we gather for a meal. Anytime during the day, we can gather, and it's the most important part of the day. We gather. Meeting together with God in our homes, it's not a burden to an already overloaded family schedule. It's a time out. That's what this is. This is not meant to be a burden. The gospel has to dominate. It's not law. God says He wants you in church. You need to be in church. But it's not law. It's gospel, so that this is where His means of grace are delivered. That's why this building was made. In the meantime, during the week, we can gather as our families to take a time out, a rest period, so we can do to what God has put us together for, what a family can do together, to be His people together and communicate with Him, and to walk in His love. So fathers, God expects you to take leadership at the family altar. There's something wrong with our society when it expects men to be the breadwinners of the family, but not lead their families to the bread of life. Men, we must get back into this role of what God has created us for, to play as the spiritual leader in our households. Women, God bless you, but for decades now you've taken upon this role yourselves. You filled in this gap that men have left in a spiritual leadership. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. If you look in the small catechism, at the beginning of each item, it says, as the head of the household should teach his family. It's time for men to step forward and lead the way the family is supposed to be at the family altar. Holy Scripture tells us today, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Our families will remember us because we showed them love by leading them to the altar of the Lord. Our families will remember us as imitators of God. Matter of fact, there's been some studies done, and they're so true today. They aren't that old, but these studies have shown that if the man of the household comes to church, the children will follow. So one can look out over the congregation here on Sunday morning, and we can see all the folks just sitting there during the singing of the hymns or during this portion of the liturgy or that portion, and you seemingly, some people just kind of endure this weekly exercise because we know what you really want to go out and do on Sundays. A lot of other more important things. But what message does this send to our children then? Yes, there's more to instilling faith among our children and bringing them up in the love and the admonition of our Lord than just mere coming to church and sitting here. There's participating. I know some families that lovingly have their children with them while they're preparing the altar. And they bring their grandchildren when they're preparing the altar for communion. There's more to loving our children than simply being their friend or making sure that they're happy. In your homes with your children or with your grandchildren, with your wives or your husbands, sit down and read a chapter of the Bible. Start in the beginning. Start at Genesis. For small children, there's a lot of really good Bible story books out there. Then maybe say the Apostles' Creed together. It's a confession of faith. Matter of fact, with young kids, if you start saying it early, they get the hang of it, they get it memorized. And they know what it means. Say a prayer for all the concerns your family has. Say that prayer together. Let each member of the family share a prayer of their concern. Pray for others in your family and your friends. Pray for your church together as a family. Then say the Lord's Prayer together. You might even consider opening up a catechism book. And you can close your little gathering together as a family with a benediction, just like we'll have here shortly. Yes, it's okay to have a benediction with your family. But then you go your way. You go and do your homework, kids. You go and do your chores around the house. You go to your jobs. You go to your meals. Blessed and refreshed. Walking in the love of the Lord. You'll find that this brings your family together. The family altar will do that. It breaks down that indifference. It heals the bruises. It builds up family unity. And most of all, it'll teach the faith that will bless your family all through this life and raise it up to eternal life in heaven. You can expect challenges in your family all the time. You betcha. There's going to be problems. You're going to have some that don't want to participate. You know why? Devil's busy. He doesn't want you to do that. You can stand up to him and you can protect this time together. You know, you don't forget to feed your children, right? Matter of fact, they have laws that says you must feed your children. What about feeding them the spiritual food that's so necessary for eternal life? walking together in the love of God will bring such benefits to your home. Just like our text reminds us, it says, give no opportunity to the devil. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. It will cause you to get rid of bitterness, anger. It'll take that attitude of whatever and throw it out the window. It will fill your home with love, compassion, understanding, and forgiveness. It will teach you to imitate God and give the life of love. Most of all, it'll draw you a lot closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So go, walking in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.